The US government just killed the most powerful AI model ever released to the public 4 days after launch. But here are the details that nobody is talking about. Amazon, one of Anthropic's biggest investors, reportedly flagged the vulnerability that triggered the ban. Is this national security, or is this the most expensive competitive takedown in technology history? And I'm here to talk with Stephen J. Manning here. He's been involved with AI since the 1980s, and he lives over in the States across the pond. And we're going to dig into this topic in a bit of detail. And I want to hear what Steve has to say. This is a pretty serious topic. So yeah, it's nice to see you, Steve.
It's good to see you and all the good folks that are watching you.
So what do you think? What do you think this is? Some kind of competitive play? Do you think it's Donald Trump's confrontation that they had by not doing what he said a few weeks ago? What do you think the deal is with this?
Well, will you allow me a minute for just a contextual background and then the very specific question you asked that I would like to address? As you know, I go back contextually to pretty much every single transformational advancement in history. I mean, it started with fire, you know. Good, we have fire. We can't go hunting. Not true. Agriculture. Oh, the wheel. Well, the wheel created transportation much more efficiently. And then moving on to electricity, telephone, communication networks, and so on. And then major things like biogenetics, which, by the way, I draw a parallel of biogenetics and what happened to Anthropic days or weeks ago. And then we created this incredible library in the sky called the internet, and then AI. All of those were feared. They were met with real dire prognostications. It's going to change the world. It's a disaster to mankind. Now, none of that actually has happened. And can you contemplate the fate of mankind without those particular advancements? Now, by far, the most often requested topic of discussion among everyone that you and I encounter is AI, disruption, labor anxiety, future of relevance of mankind, and so on. Now, let's just be clear that AI societal consequences are certainly the fastest rising global concerns. Workforce replacement, inequality, amplification, government and governance, democratic vulnerability. Big sentence, but I hear that all the time. In practical terms, people fear not only hardship, but uncertainty over what is true, where they belong, and whether they remain economically relevant. That's a big deal. You know, I become irrelevant. I lose my job. No, you don't. Actually, you get a better job. All the big brains tell me that, no, we're not going to really lose workforce jobs. We're going to get better workforce jobs. Witness Walmart. My shining example of how they foresee the future of the 2.25 million employees. They see them being retrained rather than replaced. Now, the very specific topic is kind of a Frankenstein story, if you will. And I would like to tie it back to what I'd like to see happen. Every single one of these major developments that I just recited and more have the potential for greatness that enhance everything, enhance life itself. Biogenetics enhance life itself. Biogenetics, by the way, is probably the greatest example of what I'm about to say. Every one of these has the potential for great use, abuse, a cataclysmic misuse. Biogenetics, for example, when I hear the words, I want to create a child in very much my own image, I kind of like to leave that to the millennia of people's existence. It's kind of like, well, you have two, one of the reasons we have kids, we want to propagate us. Oh, no, no, no. I can't create a master race. When I hear that, I become enraged. So, I mean, I just pick up biogenetics because it's so clear. You know, I could create a kid. I can have a kid that looks just like you because you're better looking than I am, or you're smarter than I am. You know, I'd like to have four kids. They're all like Elon Musk. It's possible, theoretically possible, maybe practically so. Now, so then we get into AI, which by any definition is fantastic. I said this in a little speech just yesterday. I said, people, the AI is phenomenal. AI is phenomenal. And I said, by the way, the worst AI you were ever going to see is what you're seeing today. Going to be better and different by nightfall, without a doubt. Quantitatively, qualitatively, every which way. Now, so I look at our topic of the day, Anthropic, and I say it's a Frankenstein story. Okay, so you get brilliant people like Amodei, however Dario spells his name, and his sister, by the way, who may just be the brains behind all of this. But anyway, you know, he started out working for Sam Altman. Now, for OpenAI.
Mm-hmm.
And then he went on to create his own mousetrap. The spectacular thing about the topic at hand is that the most outspoken person in the history, in the universe, on the potential for misuse and abuse of Claude is the guy who created it.
Yeah.
And because he realized that we created a genie, we opened the bottle, and we're not quite sure how to control the genie, which is what happened now. When he is the mover behind the feds calling in all the major banks and saying, by the way, this AI can penetrate your bank and we can rip off you and all your customers. It shows the bad people exactly how to do it. Okay, now that is a consequence that should have been anticipated. There's a point of, it's kind of like, I thought about it. It's like this guy is the antithesis of Frankenstein, you know. He's a Prometheus in the AI world. So you need to be able to fix it. We cannot stop AI, you and I talk about this. We can curb its use, but it requires something that is antithetical to the American business model, if you will. And it's not going in the direction that is going to be just disastrous in nine ways to heaven. Disastrous. Let the government figure this one out. Okay.
Really? Now. So hold on a minute. So, right, let's just clear this up for a second, yeah? We've got Fable 5, which was one of the models that was made publicly available. But Mythos 5 was a few weeks ago, and that was the one that was restricted to a small group of trusted organizations working on cybersecurity research, right? So we got that. But this is a really big thing, right? Because it's the first time the US government has retroactively banned a commercially available AI model through export controls. And it is an interesting one because it has the potential. I don't know what their stock price is now. I haven't looked today. Today's Monday. I haven't looked at the stock price. By the time this comes out tomorrow, on Tuesday, we may be at a different point. They may have said, okay, well, we've checked it. There are no vulnerabilities anymore. They may release it. We really don't know.
This is releasing Ebola. And then first we release it, then we try to curb it. In terms of limited number of people, we're going to let those 22 people do it. You leave it outside for two people to do it, you lost control. Are you kidding? The monetary potential benefit to anyone involved is so massive that it's corrupting. You know, power corrupts. Yeah. Absolute power corrupts. Absolutely. Money corrupts beyond anything else. So let's turn this loose on only 11 well-chosen, well-respected, totally vetted companies. You just created 11 potential leaks. I mean, you can't install a bathroom light in a Capitol building without that being noticed in the press, because it's just people's egos drive them. There's an infrastructure of people working in government, a couple million of them, that their lives is so programmed and so predictable. They're not going to get fired. They're going to go from a G4 to a G5 in time. So, you know, they need to be seen and heard. So they whisper to a Wall Street Journal reporter, or they whisper to some podcaster. And that's how, we're about to strike a kinetic action, military kinetic action. That goes straight from the quiet room to the public in a heartbeat. Now, the problem when they say, okay, we're going to take it back. Are you kidding? That the genie, the horse left the barn. Forget the colloquialism. Now, the thing that bugs me is the people who work in this environment, the creators of this, the Altmans of the world, you know, the Amodeis of the world, the cadre of folks inside Google, if you will, inside Amazon. These are some of the smartest people on earth. But the problem I'm having is, the only one that speaks out is this one guy who created the freaking genie. Sorry about the profanity, but who created the genie. So I go back to hierarchy of people, machines, and all that. How do you curb this? Because when you let the government, ours, yours, anyone else's. Decide to go forward or not go forward. You just got the most uncontrollable by you and out of control partner you could possibly get. Okay, there is, first of all, the continuity in government is typically the continuity in the bureaucracies, not policy. The bureaucracies are so entrenched, they're totally self-motivated, self-driven, self-interested. You go look at a million government folks at that level and find me the dozen altruistic folks. Now, there are a lot of great people working in government, no doubt about that. There are some people who devote their lives to benefit you and me and everyone else to try to figure out how not to blow ourselves up. That is true. But the bureaucracies are levels and levels so entrenched, and Trump is doing a mighty job of trying to uproot that. Now, allow me in a little example. Some years ago now, and as you know, and I'm glad to share that I grew up in the direct response industry. And if you don't know what direct response is, if any of you bought insurance or a book or anything through the mail or off television or got on the bus and there was an ad there and you called that number, that's direct response. Okay, now we've done a few billion dollars direct response in the States, in Europe, South America, and so on. Now, we came to a very interesting Rubicon in the 80s. Now, we were very much into the data world. Big data was fact of life. Large databases that were we could mine, interrogate, and then create massive predictive models was a way of life. By the way, big data, mine the data, create predictive models. Hello, that's AI. Now, we came to a point where there was a movement about data privacy. All of a sudden, people said, wait a minute, I'm getting this catalog. I'm getting this phone call. I'm getting this approach here. Where did you get my name? Okay. So then you have the activist attorneys general, because we have 50 of those, and they really drive the FTC and all that, in my humble opinion. All of a sudden, we're starting to get this pushback to say, well, you can't be trading names. Well, we all traded data, bought, sold. Well, you can do that. And there came a point at which we did something that I hope and pray that the big girls and big boys in the AI world will do. And I'm enthusiastic about it, but not particularly forward-looking. They were literally six of us who did more of that business than anyone else in the United States. We were codependent in that we were all competitors, but we depended on each other for data. And yeah, we were totally competitive. So I said, we have exactly two options. We can self-regulate or the government will. And when they do, we have a partner that we don't want, that we can't control. And we are now operating with one arm tied behind our backs. It will destroy the direct response industry. Well, you know, so imagine the big room at this hotel in New York, with these people being very, very pleasant to each other and wanting to, in the business terms, kill each other. And the topic is very simple. Do we self-regulate or do we go fight this to the death and lose? Because the difference between us and the government is they print money. We don't. We're long dead, bankrupt, destitute. They're still going to be printing money. Can't fight that juggernaut. How about we self-regulate? What are the things that are causing Anthropic's issue, our issue? Let's self-regulate.
Yeah,
and amazingly, we emerged a day later with a plan.
Yeah.
And we went and created an association, created a paradigm. This is what we're going to do. This is how we're going to do it to combat the negativity we're getting, the abuse that we are perpetrating. We're abusing this without a doubt. But nobody said you couldn't. They will. And when we emerged from that, and I mean, it's interesting. This massive topic. A day later, a lot of coffee and Danish and sandwiches later. This is what we're going to do differently going forward. And now we're going to create the framework, and then we will go to the government. You never go to government saying, "Please don't regulate us or regulate us." Well, we did. This is what we're going to do. And the answer is, well, if you're going to do that, then there's no need for us to be involved. So how do you get the big girls, the big boys, the massive, and mind you, dealing in trillions of dollars worth of business that these people create and so on, and say, okay, you want to save this or you want to have a partner you don't want? What do you want to do? Okay, so we need to come to an agreement. There's some things we will always do, and there's some things we will never do. And that's what we posit to every regulatory agency on earth. This is how Anthropic, this is how ChatGPT, this is how Gemini, this is how Copilot, this is what we're not going to do, and this is what we're going to do. And don't throw anything at me, which is safe to say because you're, 8,000 miles away. And we will regulate each other. You, if there's five of us, you four are my watchdogs. Us four are yours.
All right. So I've got an elephant in the room. There are two elephants in the room. There's China, which is a huge elephant in the room here. Despite the fact that the Americans have spent 23 times more on AI investment this year, China are only 3% behind. So that's the first elephant in the room. The second one is the rapid increase in quality of localized AI models that you can run on your machine. And I'm running, I downloaded two to my machine. It was not difficult. I went to Claude, which ones do I need? Claude said, okay, well, what spec do you have on your machine? I went, okay, this is the spec of my machine. Claude said, okay, your spec isn't bad. You can use this and you can use this. This one you use for that, this one you use for that, and then you can reduce your token usage so you don't have to use so much Claude, etc. But the thing is that these localized models are accelerating also at a very, very fast rate. So, and the major issue is exactly what you said. The cat is out of the bag, right? And the problem is that because China is there pushing us, right? We have to have the best models at our fingertips, right? Which is why Trump has said, okay, Americans can use this model if you have a passport, which I'm very fortunate to have. So I can, despite the fact I'm living in a foreign country, I can probably, once they bring number five back, I can probably use that for my personal business, which is in California with you, and et cetera. The major issue, we've got two more issues. We've got the earnings report that now Anthropic, if this doesn't get fixed quickly, Anthropic will be dialing back the earnings report. They will be dialing back the number of chips they're going to buy, dialing back the amount of machines they're going to buy, dialing back the data center contracts that they just have. So we're in a very difficult situation. And like all of these moves with the economy, Donald Trump always pushes it on a Friday because he knows if he does it on a Friday, there's a little bit of time to recover before the stock market opens on a Monday. I don't know what's going to happen. I haven't looked at the stocks, right? Probably should have prior to this conversation. But I think we're at a point where we knew it was coming. National security, that's what this whole series I've been talking about is all about. National security. Yes, it's about helping people. Yes, it's about improving people's lives. But it's also about protecting what you have and protecting your citizens from cyber crimes, from all sorts of different things. So I know I said quite a lot there, but I think this is a very complex topic, more than I realized, especially after listening to what you had to say, really, Steve.
Well, you know, okay, I'm going to try to recall what you said because, you know, clearly you identified the little ones and the big elephants in the room. Let's just start with China. The greatest long-range players, status tacticians in the history of the world. Now, we spent 23 times as much as they do, and they're just a skosh behind. There'll be the only 24,000 that are not associated with Chinese government. That's either hypocrisy, unintelligible, or the sickly dumbest thing I've heard in memory. Now, the question is, it's the same question you talk about things like environmental issues. Okay, we'll knock ourselves out, and we're going to just destroy all manner of industries and lifestyle things to deal with environmental issues, whether they're real or perceived as academic. But let's just assume for a moment that they're real. Okay, so then at the same time, China is going to open 1 to 2 dirty coal burning power plants every single week. Okay, so what are you going to do about it? Oh, well, you know, it's kind of like the old days. You remember when you got on an airplane, they had smoking sections and non-smoking sections. So row number 12 was non-smoking. Rule number 13 was smoking, which explains why on a 17-hour flight, I threatened to throw the two guys sitting behind me out of their window at 35,000 feet. They didn't stop smoking because, you know, smoke doesn't move. Just Okay. It's the same thing. It's insane. It's insane. So, you know, all the bad stuff that's coming out of China and the atmosphere, it sits right there. It's just like a little cupola. It's nonsense. Now, you have options to do or not do. Now, the big boys and girls can act to curb misuse, the tragic potential use of all of this. Oh, by the way, speaking of national security, I recall quite vividly when we needed another server in England, in Europe. So I said to the kids in Arizona, can you provision a server for me and put it on DHL or whatever and send it to Red Hill in London? Because we had nodes there and stuff like that. By the way, I want a secure server. Okay, no problem. And the kid said, well, you know, it's $800 to buy the software. Okay, but we can create one much better. This will take a year for anybody to break what we create. By the way, these kids were in high school. They ended up working for the federal government. Anyway, I said, okay, fine. And with that, I forgot the $1,700 until I found out that it took them hours, and then they shipped it, and it was there, and somebody plugged it in. It was doing what it was doing. And I said, wait a minute, stop. I said, unplug it. Why? We just broke federal espionage laws. You can't do that. You can't send that software over there. Okay, so it took about 3 or 4 months to get another server and provision it there with something that was substandard. But you know what? Seriously? There is very little that exists where the cat remains in the bag. It's simple as that. I think that, by the way, I decided to also install Claude, which is costing me $30 a month for the upgraded version until the 23rd of this month when I can no longer use 5. I use...
Have you still got 5?
I got 5, and I can use it until the 23rd of June.
Wow, you're lucky it took it away from me.
By the way,
I've got envy now.
I did it because you were talking about it.
Yeah.
And I thought I'd be cute, so I asked the question. Hi. And I asked the question, would Stephen J. Manning ever say the following 4 words? Now, I have a 4-page canonical convention of things I do, don't do, say. I don't say how I phrase stuff, my perspective and all that. I've been developing that with 500 or 600 hours of work for the last 11 months. Claude said, good morning, Stephen. I would love to answer your question, but I just don't know enough about you because I just read everything on your website. And I don't have enough information to answer that very specifically, but I have 9 questions. Okay, well, when I pick myself off the floor, you read everything posted on my website, and you still need a little more information about me. And the 9 questions, and the granularity of questions, Nathaniel, is just like...
It's insane.
How quickly can I disconnect this?
It is literally that insane, but people don't get it. People don't get it.
There was a mention there, given your interest in this particular drug that speaks to a specific medical condition, you may not want to do that. Now, sometime, somewhere, I looked into a drug for some reason. It doesn't speak to a condition I have. Now, I am not violating any federal statutes. I'm not certainly not violating the Federal Espionage Act, which if you want to read it, I did 2 decades ago, and I broke into terrible sweat because I said, we just broke the law. I didn't know that. Okay, excuse me. As long as I have one of these, I can send anything to anybody around the world, no matter what. Yeah. So how do you curb that? The thing that, again, I think you listened to Mr. Amodei, well, this is being brilliant. The guy clearly has a conscience. He said, my God, I created the monster. Now,
well, he does. I mean, the thing is, Steve, is that their marketing, right, which is partly to blame, apparently, from what I was hearing, their marketing is very scary. It's very negative. It's very, hold on a minute, you need to be careful. That's their marketing. So actually, they have drawn attention.
Right.
Well, they've drawn attention to the fact that it's dangerous, but the thing is that now ChatGPT number 5.5 is ahead of them at the moment. So
yeah, but Nathaniel,
look, right, to normal people, using 5.5 ChatGPT, Gemini, whatever the hell it is, Claude 4.8, right? You don't even need Claude 5. Yes, Claude 5 is incredible. You don't even need it. We're at a point now where if you know what you're doing, you know what questions to ask the AI, you know a topic, you know an industry, right? For example, if you are a marketer who's just started in your career and you don't know very much, you are in danger of losing your job. This is, you're a junior marketer, you're in danger. If you are a file clerk for a insurance company, you are in danger of losing your job because you're not needed anymore. Because actually, with AI, medium level to senior level people can do your job and 100 times your output because they have the knowledge that you have. The major issue is businesses have been getting rid of people who were senior because they didn't understand the fact that the AI does not have all the answers, right? And this is part of the problem. But all these jobs, they're not even created yet. The jobs that we're going to be doing are not created yet. And in fact, we need to go through this continual learning curve every day. We need to remember that we're a beginner. Every single day, we go through this thing. Okay, I know something, but actually it could all change just like this. And I'm a beginner, right? But we're missing the kind of thing here. We've got a huge, huge issue going on here. And it is one of competitive advantage. And if Claude gets given to US citizens globally, right? And Anthropic are like not allowed to allow their employees who are foreign nationals to use it, then it's going to disrupt everything, right? But what it is going to do, which is a positive, is it's going to give America's citizens around the world a way bigger advantage than anybody else to create businesses.
Well, that would be a good thing if it were possible. I don't think it is entirely possible.
I don't think it's possible.
Speaking of file clerks, if you were to work for a company that I may head, we wouldn't have file clerks. We have document retention management people, which means you get a raise and you figure out how to keep your darn job instead of, you know, I say this not in jest, but I looked at a resume of a friend who's an incredibly credentialed journalist, has a son, got an MBA from NYU, and he lists on his resume that he was a file clerk at JP Morgan Chase a year. Okay, tell you what, dude, I'm not hiring you. But if you happen to be a document in retention and management, you're my guy. The market advantage that you create by restricting marketing advantages to other people is, I think, a precarious Chinese wall.
Yeah,
you know, I don't mean that as in China,
but it's a worry. But there's a very
because
strategic...
the same smart. No, Nathaniel, but the same smart people are going to work just as hard to break that. That's the problem. Okay, so again, I have to go back to what is it that we can do to curb this galloping stallion from running from just destroying everything in its path. Now, the biggest issue, in my humble opinion, is something you said, because I believe that Sam Altman is talking about be careful, we can't control it, be careful. Amadeus, let's have a meeting of all the big banks and talk about how my little thing can screw up your bank, period. Hey, Chase, hey, Citi, my little thing in the hands of a guy like Nathaniel Schooler can't create a couple $1 billion hit in a matter of minutes. Schooler can't penetrate Citibank. Give him access to that particular model. He can't do it because Schooler is already that good at it. And Schooler doesn't have to have 400 engineers in 17 countries. He can sit on his patio, contemplate his navel, and rip off Chase for a couple hundred million dollars in a heartbeat. Until we find him, then we'll shut him down. This could write a book and make even more money. Now, but the thing that bothers me the most is that the culture itself that we live in, certainly the United States of America, we have 250 million adults here, 220 million adults. A significant percentage of those people are, whatever they are, Democrats, Republicans, whatever they have, they are, politically speaking, the victorcrats. That's a term I like to use. And they're sitting there saying, I'm owed. Now, I would like to personally whip the people who go ahead and penetrate the infrastructure of a big hospital and try to shake them down for money. They shut down all the internet access and so on. So you get operating rooms with doctors looking at blank screens. They don't know what a probe is until the backup kicks in, and the latency itself might just kill a bunch of people. I would like to beat those people into total submission. That's the problem, what you highlighted. There are a lot of smart people who are not well-intended, who are victorious. They're owed. And it's okay to benefit yourself at the absolute expense of others. So put five in the hands of a clever guy like you. And if you wake up in the morning with the intention of, I got to make some easy money today, and I don't care about the victimology of what I'm about to do, you can create enormous amount of harm. Now, that's you, but there's 1,000 of you within drive time of where you are right now. There are 100,000 of them in the United States of America. And unfortunately, we don't teach them anything when they go to school, so they learn that on their own, and they make it so easy. So how do you do that? The only way you curb that kind of behavior, if you have enforcement to do it, and the penalties are so severe that they are, in fact, you know, look, I'm doing this, it's kind of fun. If I get nailed, automatic 5 years, why not try to figure out how to rip off a juice company instead? Because I only go to jail for 2 years. I nail you using your phone, no questions asked. It's just there's no presumption of innocence. The police officer takes a picture, dude using the phone, down Wilshire Boulevard, you go to prison for a year. You will curb usage of cell phones and automobiles. Because, you know what, maybe I should put that down and use hands-free.
So back to...
So the point, how do you curb you and me from taking to Grok, to GTP 1.5.7 or Claude 5.1.2? How do you prevent you and me from terrible misuse, cataclysmically so, enforcement, and a level of penalty that just make you cringe. Because if I'm some kid, and there are a lot of very smart kids sitting, living over a garage, my mom's phone, I say, hey, let me show you all how clever I am. I'm going to shut down the 405 freeway in LA. Newsflash, you can.
The thing is that it isn't just people in America, right? It's people globally. And this is part of the challenge, right? And we're at a point now where we need to harmonize with the AI in order to improve things, right? And this is what I'm big on. I'm big on working with it in order to improve our lives, right? And that's what we really need to be doing. Instead of curbing the use of it, which damages the economy, which puts us into a spiral, right? And I think we're at a point now where the Chinese will catch up. The 3% will become 1% very quickly.
And if they haven't already,
well, they probably have, right? They probably have. But it's a case of, you know, trying to keep an eye on what's going on without sort of panicking. I mean, that's what we're doing, is people are panicking, and it's like all government. But it's like all government, they all do these things, right?
But I look at an even bigger picture, because you were talking about what's going to happen to Claude if this thing doesn't resolve somewhere. Sam Altman said or inferred or whatever that if they don't find a resolution to the whole power grid issue, ChatGPT will run out of money within 2 years.
Period. Yeah, that's no surprise. Okay.
So
that's
you no got to be listen. AI is great until the lights go out.
Mm-hmm.
And in America, there's incredible movement against AI server farms.
Absolutely.
Hey, if everybody turns on their AI machine at the same time, the lights just go out. Okay. Mm-hmm. And then, so the government says, well, build your own power plant. Okay.
Yeah. Well,
small nuclear power plants can you build in the United States of America before somebody cuts a couple of corners and bad stuff happens?
True.
There's a problem there.
That's a good point.
They are building power plants all over the United States of America.
Right.
But a 40,000 square foot building in Arizona. I live in California, but in Arizona, outside, I think, Tucson, Phoenix, is irrelevant. It's in the desert. They're going to build one of those. It's irrelevant who they're going to build one of those on, I don't know, some acreage of absolutely useless land. and employ 2,500 people building it and employ another 1,000 people running it. No, the city, the state went after them. They can't do it because if you don't build a power plant, the lights will go off in Phoenix.
Of course.
So if you go to China, if you can impact China's economy in even more ways than you do today, China's economy is a shaky jigsaw puzzle today. Where's it going? That's a very good question. I think the people pondering China's economy, all the smart people, and I read two or three of them, they pay homage to Donald Trump of the impact he's having on China's economy. The only stop measure to that dam in China is the economic woes China's experiencing. You don't believe me? Read Gordon Chang. Gordon's the smartest guy on China.
Right.
But yeah, you got to plug the darn thing in. Let's be real. And if you don't have enough power to do it, doesn't matter how good it is. Doesn't matter how fast the Ferraris, you can put gasoline in it. So yeah. Now, I know that's a very simplistic way to look at what is a massive idea. What you put together as the intro to this points to how massive this is.
Yeah, it's huge. I mean, but also there are positives. AI is doing a lot of positive things. In New York, for example, AI has been used within New York, I would say longer than 10 years, to actually work out if you go to the planning department and you want to put a coffee shop in New York somewhere, they have so much data available that they can tell you, okay, there's a coffee shop here, there's a coffee shop there, the throughput of people past your door is this. Okay, we're going to give you permission to put a coffee shop in, right? So the fact is that America has been using this AI for a long, long time, and they haven't been telling people, right? But the fact is that we're at a point now where people want better lives. They want to earn more money. They want to enjoy themselves more, right? And the fact is that I truly believe AI has the capability to do that. I think we have opportunity to improve our lives, right? And
Nathaniel,
the problem
if you get an X-ray or an MRI,
yeah,
the question I will ask is, who's going to read it? What doctor's going to read my X-ray and my MRI? And then I'm going to reach out to him or her, because I know my way around, and say, explain the process. Oh, you've been at this for 28 years. I know. You're going to be looking at a 54-inch monitor, or you're going to feed the images into the AI reader. If you don't feed the image AI reader, get me another physician. I know a number of orthopedic surgeons, for example. The three best known in L.A. work out of three different hospitals. One of them left the biggest, moved to the second biggest, and they have a wing for him because he, as brilliant as he may be, now he likes that Stryker machine that runs AI better than him. He's better at replacing your hip or your knee or whatever. The other guy's ego is too big. He wants to do this. Guess what? I'm going to the dude as golden as his hands are.
Yeah.
I'm going to the guy that's
proven, isn't it? I mean, this is the point, is that it's proven now, right, that a lot of these things are really, really useful. When you can run reports, you can crunch data, you can work out things that would have taken maybe 3, 4, 5 weeks and a team of 50 people, when you can run a report like that in 10 minutes less.
Right.
You know, we need to use it. And the fact is that there will be some very smart people working out what on earth to do. But if you think about it, if this continues, this ban, it will just mean that American citizens get more jobs. American people around the world will make more money because they will have access to frontline models. That's
it. That bothers me not at all.
No, but the thing is that the shareholders will lose out. Because Anthropic's going to have to reduce their potential earnings reports for the next few years because they
I look at that as okay, some short term pain, but given what, first of all, I'm a shameless American, if you will. This is my adopted country, so I feel very strongly about being a Yankee, although, you know, I wasn't born and raised here, but I'm a hardcore Yankee. So any advantage I see over a lot of the rest of the world that you and I have traveled and experienced, I'm perfectly fine with that. I'm fine with that. The short-term hit in terms of the look, if you look at who owns Anthropic stock, and this is, well, I don't know, 2 million people do.
Amazon owns, sounds like, a lot of it.
Oh, yeah, so, Amazon. Okay. Now, since I'm at war with Amazon over a couple of their customer service processes right now, as much as I absolutely admire the database functions, which I had something to do with many years ago, if I admire what they've done, it's beyond phenomenal. The predictive modeling is, that's the way the world should run. But okay, I'm okay with Amazon taking a little bit of hit on their ownership of stock if the benefit is to the rest of us, okay, the direct benefit. And if everyone's 401k is going to say, have a little oops on account of Amazon, I'm okay with that because perhaps we are going to stop from blowing ourselves up.
Yeah.
You know, yeah. It's a funny thing. When I talk about this, I had this talk and a bunch of supercilious people. And one guy said, you mean we could blow ourselves up? I said, well, I thought I was cute when I said that, but you want to list the 10 ways we can blow ourselves up on account of technology today, one, and on account of economic things that we do by virtue of ownership of stock, ownership of equity. I said, there's 10 ways we can just blow ourselves up. Yeah. And the guy says, gee, maybe we can have you back in a year and see if we've blown ourselves up.
We will see. I think the jury's...
I said something very unkind and profane, but which I'll not...
I'm sure. But I think the jury's out, right? We will just have to wait and see. Maybe this week. I think certainly this week there will be some enlightenment on this. I think personally, I think that if it was me and I was running that company, I'd be like, okay, America's citizens only, and I'd rush in there a KYC, so all people with a passport could scan the passport, no matter where they were in the world, and that's it, done. Simple as that.
I think it would be a great start. You still have to live with the fact that so many people, by definition, are just greedy. I own it. I'll figure out a way to give it to you too.
Yeah.
You know what? You come to my office and work here. And that's always a possibility.
Yeah, there'll be all sorts of things like that. Absolutely.
But I will tell you, I think that the topic that you picked is phenomenal. And I want a transcript of your intro.
Thanks, Steve. Thanks, everyone. And don't forget to subscribe wherever you listen. And yeah, appreciate you. And get into Monday Influencer. We're going to put a little advert at the back end of this. So go to MondayInfluencer.com.
Thank you.
And we love having you around. Thank you.
Thank you, Nathaniel.
Thanks very much for listening to Influential Visions. Please make sure you share this episode with your friends and business connections. And don't forget to drop us a review wherever you listen. Thanks.